You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition, and we have two breaking stories. One is that today, Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe stepped down. Now, he put in his papers to retire sometime in March, probably the middle of March. So it's not completely unexpected that he was on his way out of the FBI. He'll have his 20 years in March, and he has accumulated some vacation time. But most people thought he would stay in the position and then take the leave and then exit that way. But it seems that the FBI director, the new FBI director, Ray, went to Congress and looked at the four-page memo that's been in the news. And when he came back that Monday, McCabe was asked to leave, step down. Now, he wasn't going to take a demotion. The deputy director is the number two person at the FBI, but it was about time. But what's missing here? And for those that don't know the background, I'll go over it. I've gone over it several times in the past several shows, but a lot of people are new listeners and people that really have not heard what's going on and what's this memo I'm talking about. Well, the House Intelligence Committee, headed by Nunes, has prepared a memo summarizing a lot of classified information. Now, the memo supposedly was prepared so it could be released. It doesn't disclose sources and methods, but it does give you a outline, a framework, if you will, to follow what's going on. And it's rather damning. Now, we don't know what's in the memo, but we do know that the FBI Inspector General has been conducting a comprehensive investigation of, first of all, the Hillary Clinton investigation, how it was handled or really mishandled. She was let off the hook. And the reason I say that, we have those text messages from the lead investigator, the lead FBI investigator Strzok, to his girlfriend, Paige. And what's interesting about that exchange, they didn't go in really conducting a vigorous investigation. They were going to let her off. And you and I are puzzled at that. They had all the evidence to convict her, because when you mishandle to the extent that Hillary Clinton and her immediate staff mishandled classified documents, it's open and shut. You present the evidence, the grand jury will indict her, and then we take it to court. And then it's up to Hillary Clinton to defend herself, if she can. Now, if you listen to past shows, President Obama apparently knew of this private email account and communicated with her. And if he did, but to and from, you better believe some classified information was involved. So he was breaking the law too, but he should have, but he didn't, reprimand her and insist that from here on out, this should be, all communication should be done on Department of State email accounts, and their servers are supposedly protected by security. You see, Hillary Clinton thought she was special. She was entitled to do what she wanted to do, even though it broke laws. The laws don't apply to her because she's the former First Lady, the former Senator for New York, and now the Secretary of State. I don't have to comply with the laws of the land. I'm special. I'm entitled. I'm Hillary Clinton. While the American people are saying, we believe in the rule of law, and if you broke the law to the extent that you did, you should go to jail. You should be in prison. We don't care if you're the former First Lady, the former Senator from New York, or the former Secretary of State. There's not one rule of law for the American people and one rule of law for those that are special. She's not special. She's a criminal. And I'm waiting and waiting, and this is the they have three more days for the Department of Justice to indict her. They need to appoint immediately a special counsel and go immediately to a grand jury indict her because the statute of limitations runs out Wednesday at 12 midnight. Remember during the campaign, what were the supporters of candidate Trump shouting when the topic of Hillary Clinton came up? Lock her up! Lock her up! Lock her up! Now, I was not a Trump supporter. I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, couldn't vote for her. She is simply, when you fundamentally break the law like that, you deserve to be in prison, not in the White House. And if you ask me, one of the reasons why she's not in the White House is because there were just too many American people that had prior experience with classified information, prior military as well as current military, intelligence officers, either retired or on duty, as well as law enforcement. You do not handle classified information the way she did. They're separate communications channels. They're separate rooms. They're safe to put these in. And what Hillary Clinton ignored, the briefing that she was given on this, it doesn't matter whether it's marked or unmarked. It's the content that determines the classification. And in essence, what her staff did is take out cut and paste. They took off all the classification markings, pasted it in an email, and sent it to her. Ladies and gentlemen, that is violating the law, several laws. And yes, she destroyed government records, destroyed the evidence that was under subpoena by Congress. That's obstruction of justice. There are many, many counts that the FBI could have gotten a conviction, but the fix was in. And we're learning more and more about who was in on the fix. It was James Comey. It was the Attorney General. It was the President of the United States. And it looks like it was also Andrew McCabe and the people reporting to him, including Strzok, Peter Strzok. Now, I have a picture. And for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is to go to my companion blog, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you do, you'll see some, not all of my show prep, but a lot of my show prep. And that can be photographs, cartoons, graphs, articles, YouTube videos, whatever. And I give it to you because I want to give you additional information. There's just so much material on this. It can and is overwhelming, but don't take my word for it. That people that have worked for the FBI are flabbergasted as to what was going on. You see, I think several other people ultimately should be fired, and I think many of these people should be prosecuted. The FBI, as well as some people in the Department of Justice, should be fired and prosecuted. Will that happen? No. Impression I'm getting it, they're circling the wagons both at the FBI and the Department of Justice, because this is a scandal, a political scandal of the first order. And it's not just Hillary Clinton's email. If you're getting the impression I'm going to be talking about Hillary Clinton's email, well, that was part of this scandal. But the bigger part, and the part that most people haven't gotten yet, and will get a big clue once that memo is released, and I don't think it's going to be released until sometime in February, probably around Valentine's Day. That's why I think it's going to be the St. Valentine's Day document memo massacre, because it's going to name names in the sense that, well, let me back up. We will give you laid out in four pages concisely what happened. You see, they spied on candidate Trump and then President-elect Trump. The FBI was spying and surveilling Donald Trump. Now, to do that, you have to get some approvals. And you see, I was doing some research because I've worked in bureaucracies and large corporations, as a matter of fact, one of the largest ones, and I know there's an organization structure. And people have bosses, and bosses have bosses. And I said, there's something missing here. Who is the boss of Strzok? And lo and behold, and he was the lead investigator in charge of both the email investigation of Hillary Clinton, where she got off. He also drafted some of the wording in the press conference on July 5th, 2016, that Comey gave, where he went all over the evidence. Everyone said, oh, he's going to recommend that they indict her. And at the end says, no, you've got to prove intent. No, you don't. That was another lie. Let's say he misled and said no prosecutor would prosecute. Excuse me? I think I could find several hundred, if not several thousand, in the government that would prosecute. You know, prosecutors like cases where there's a ton of evidence that makes it clear that if you don't win, you're totally incompetent. And you could have gotten an indictment. They never went to the grand jury. That was the big tip-off. They never. See, usually on these cases, what you do, you go to the grand jury, you present the evidence, and then you start pressuring the people in the chain. You want informants. So you start at the bottom. And the bottom in this case would be Hillary Clinton's staff that were helping her, both sending her and receiving classified information. They were in on it. They were breaking the law. They were not following Department of State policies. And they were compromising the national security of the United States of America and probably led to the deaths of one or more agents that we recruited because the cavalier way she set up this server, you better believe one or more, and I think probably a dozen foreign nations, hacked her server. She didn't have the protections, whether good or bad, and you'll get a conflicting opinions on this, but had she had either had a Department of State email account, it would have been a lot more difficult for foreign adversaries, people that don't wish the United States well, such as Russia, Communist China, the Islamic Republic of Iran, North Korea, to break into Hillary Clinton's server. It was easy, and it was easy. And there are many people that could have done it and probably did do it. And see, once they did that, they had a lot of information, and unfortunately, many of it classified information, from confidential all the way to top secret, secret, top secret, special compartmented information. In my mind, Donald Trump better make that phone call and direct his attorney general to appoint a special counsel and indict her before the statute of limitations runs out. If he doesn't, he's broken a campaign promise. I know he said, I'll phone the attorney general. But Mr. President, you are the president. You are the executive of this country. You can pick up the phone and order the attorney general to do the right thing, which is to appoint a special counsel to reinvestigate many, many crimes of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, and the people in the FBI and in the Department of Justice that let her get away with this. That's what was happening. The fix was in at the FBI and the Department of Justice. Why? It's very simple. You can't have a presidential candidate of the Democratic Party, or for that matter, any party, being under FBI investigation. And she was. She should have been. And really, she should have been indicted in early part of 2016, so spare the American people and the Democratic Party from nominating her. But they did. And what happened was a big surprise. See, many of these people that now have already been fired, such as Comey, demoted, and there are many people in the FBI and the Department of Justice that have been demoted, I think face serious legal charges. Because when you work for the FBI or Department of Justice, you take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and also faithfully execute the laws. And when you don't faithfully execute the laws by not really conducting a complete, thorough investigation, including questioning of Hillary Clinton's staff, as well as Hillary Clinton. They went through the motions, folks. They went easy on her. Now, you can say, well, that's not Hillary Clinton's fault. No, but it is the Obama administration's fault. You see, people in a large organization such as the federal government, they're bosses upon bosses. Do you think the FBI director was going to do this if he didn't think both the president of the United States and the attorney general didn't want it? Do you think Andrew McCabe was going to do this unless he thought not only the FBI director, but the attorney general and President Obama didn't want to do this? And there were people under them. You see, this was a partisan investigation. That was the first, if you will, group of crimes. Now, what's the second one? And much bigger. The President of the United States, together with the Department of Justice and the FBI and probably one or more agencies, part of the intelligence community. There are 16 agencies. The two or three biggies is the FBI for counterintelligence, counterespionage activity, the Central Intelligence Agency that is responsible for intelligence gathering in abroad, and then you have the National Security Agency, which is responsible for what's called signals intelligence, in other words, intercepting the communications or messages of our adversaries or opponents, such as Russia, both military and political. Yeah, we spy on other nations as other nations spy on us. That's the thing you have to keep in mind. I'm all for a strong CIA, FBI, and National Security Agency, provided they remember their oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the United States Constitution, and that includes the Bill of Rights, especially number 4, your right for privacy. So what happened is they used opposition research, the so-called Trump dossier. I call it the dirty dossier. They use that dossier to get a warrant from the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, and you go to that court when you are having a investigation, a counterintelligence investigation, and they were. And who were they going after? President Trump and his campaign. Initially, in June, the FISA court said no. Now, what you need to understand, and I forget what the current number is, but they're upwards of 40,000. By now, it's probably over 40,000 FISA warrants have been issued. Only a handful. You can count on two hands the times that they've turned it down. So it's rather rare that FISA turns it down, but they did in June. And then in July, they came back, and they also came back in October. They were investigating people on the Trump campaign. Now, what's interesting is, and this came out in early part, I think March of this of 2017, when this investigation is launched, the FBI director, James Comey, has a responsibility to brief 8 people in Congress. 8 people. 4 senators, 4 congressmen. Who are they? The Senate and House majority and minority leaders. In other words, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, the Minority Leader, Nancy Pelosi, the Senate Majority Leader, McConnell, and the Minority Leader, Schumer. Now, I'm trying to think. At that time, it might have been Reid. But anyway, 8 people have to be notified, and the other 4 are heads of the House as well as the Senate Intelligence Committee and the ranking minority members. So 8 people need to be notified. Well, lo and behold, they didn't notify him. And when he finally did notify him that they launched this investigation in July, under questioning, he was asked, well, why didn't you notify us? Well, I did in recently. No, you're supposed to notify us in July. Well, under the advice of the assistant director of the counterterrorism unit, he said this is too sensitive. Well, excuse me, doesn't he report to you? Oh, yes, he does. Now, who does he report to you through? Andrew McCabe? Yep. Why do you defer to him? Remember, they're required by law to do this, and an assistant FBI director tells the FBI director, I think you should hold off. Now, why do you think he said that? Well, you're in July. You got August, September, October, and the election. And Hillary Clinton's going to win. See, everyone, groupthink was that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And once she won, what we were doing was going to be swept out under the rug. And I believe it would be, and we would know nothing about this. And I believe that's exactly what would happen. That's why they got a little sloppy, lazy and sloppy. They got arrogant. Arrogance. Arrogance is always the downfall. I used to have a principle. I call it the gas principle. Stay away from, don't work for anyone that has gas. Now, some of you are saying, what do you mean? People that are greedy, arrogant, and stupid. Greedy, arrogant, and stupid. Because they'll get you in trouble. Don't work for them. Don't associate with them. And they got arrogant and rather stupid because they thought, nah, this will never come out. Well, if you look at the chain of command, it looks like there's a missing name. Even when Comey was testifying back in March to Congress on this, he just said, you know, the head of counterterrorism, the assistant director of counterterrorism. Who's he? I'm saying the name. It's Bill Priestap. Priestap. I hope I'm not mispronouncing it. He was the boss. That was Peter Strzok's boss. He's the one who had approved the activities of who? Peter Strzok, who was the lead investigator, leading the investigation of both the Hillary Clinton emails and the spying and surveillance activity on both candidate Trump and his campaign. He had to approve it, and he's not going to do this on his own. He's going to brief his boss, who is Andrew McCabe. Yep, that guy that has to step down. I don't think he's out of the woods yet, by the way. Oh, he might retire, but he might be spending a lot of his early retirement checks defending himself in courts of law. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is a scandal. The Democratic Party, what did they do together with the Hillary Clinton campaign? They hired, through a law firm, Fusion GPS. Now, you've heard that name before. It's a number of ex-reporters that are hired by a number of outfits to part of their work is what's called opposition research. They dig up dirt on your opponent. They like to call it leverage. We need leverage, or what Peter Strzok called an insurance policy. Isn't that nice? And what did Fusion GPS do? It hired Christopher Steele, an MI6, an intelligence agent, former intelligence agent for the United Kingdom. And he focused in on Russia. What did Christopher Steele do? He hired intelligence agents, Russian intelligence agents, to give him fine dirt on Donald Trump. So if you're getting paid piecework, what do? If you don't have any dirt, you make it up. And that's what they did. They made it up. I call it a fairy tale. And because they're piece by piece, they'll make up as much as you want as long as you're paying them. And what did Steele do? He took all these salacious material, made up material, couldn't verify it, put it together, and lo and behold, you have the dossier. I call it the dirty dossier, but nobody believed it. See, they tried initially to peddle this dossier to the press, television networks, as well as newspapers, but they didn't bite. Why? Well, they didn't want to be sued. There's still a little bit of journalism left. They know if they were to publish anything that was in that dossier, you better believe their newspaper or network would be the subject of a lawsuit and would lose it. For a long time, the press stayed away from it. And that was disappointing. They wanted this out to knock out. This was going to be the knockout punch, especially in October. The October surprise that was going to knock Donald Trump out of the race. And then Hillary Clinton would be president of the United States. More and more, that gives me scary thoughts. You see, all of this we know about and most likely would never know about had she won. This would be buried deep in the warehouses of government records, never to see the light of day for hundreds of years. But the American people, at least some of them, enough of them, were paying attention. And they didn't like what they saw. Hillary Clinton had a long deserved reputation for being a liar. They didn't trust her. They didn't like her. They didn't trust her. Now, many people did. They wanted her to be the first woman president. I don't think that's a reason to vote for anybody. Like I say, I think you always have to ask the character question. Is this a person of character? Is this a person of integrity? Can I trust this person? Is the person honest? And if the answer keeps coming back, no, 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 I can't trust this person, the very last thing you should do is vote for them for any office, from dog catcher to president of the United States, but especially president of the United States. Hillary Clinton thought she was going to be president. So did the Democratic Party. So did President Obama. So did many in the FBI and Department of Justice. And they conspired to make sure that the FBI investigation into the email crimes that she got exonerated, got a pass, she skated. But the people doing the investigation didn't do their jobs, forgot their oath of office, didn't faithfully execute the laws of the land. And they even went a step further. They were going to have an insurance policy. They were going to guarantee that no matter what, he couldn't win. But something happened. Oh, yes, they surveilled President or candidate for President Trump, and they came up empty. And, yes, some people in his campaign were talking to Russians, but they should have been talking. There's nothing illegal talking to Russians, especially if your national security advisor, General Flynn, who was talking to literally dozens of ambassadors. Because once President-elect Trump was elected, it's common practice for the incoming administration, especially dealing with a lot of foreign countries, that preliminary phone calls be made, especially to countries like Russia. So it's normal, and nothing is illegal about what General Flynn did. The only mistake he made is forgetting that when you're talking to a Russian ambassador, there's a high probability that someone, namely either the FBI or the National Security Agency, is intercepting, recording this message, and a transcript is made. And it was. But General Flynn, the designated National Security Advisor for Trump that was on the job just a couple of weeks, fell into a trap laid by who? Peter Strzok. The general should have known better, but he paid a stiff price. I don't think he was treated fairly at all. He should have had legal representation. But remember, this was done in the early days, I think the second, third day. Peter Strzok interviewed him, and apparently he didn't remember the details of that phone conversation. But you see, Peter Strzok had a transcript. So he took down what General Flynn said or remembered. Remember, General Flynn's not a lawyer. What lawyers will tell you is, first of all, you better have a lawyer when the FBI calls, legal representation. And the best answer is, I don't recall. I don't recall. I don't remember. That was what Hillary Clinton would say. I don't recall. I don't remember. But General Flynn vaguely remembered what he said, and it didn't match what the transcript said. Did they tell General Flynn that they had a transcript? No. They were trying to trap him in committing perjury, like they're trying to trap President Trump again. It's called a process crime. You're not supposed to lie to the FBI. Many times, people simply don't know and make that mistake. See, it's perfectly acceptable and is done all the time. I don't recall or remember. Yeah, I might have got a phone call, but, you know, I make so many phone calls. I remember I did talk to the ambassador. You see, why you and me talking to an ambassador, I probably would remember. It's rather unique. But when you're in a position that the general was in, he's talking to ambassadors all the time, as well as representatives from foreign countries. And he stepped in it. He was set up by Peter Strzok. Now, who supervises him? Oh, this Bill Priestap, head of the FBI's counterintelligence head. He had to. Why is that name important? What's his role in this conspiracy? Now, some have speculated that maybe James Comey was setting up this gentleman to be the fall guy, even though he didn't give the name. Oh, he's in the chain. And you better believe any FISA warrant and the information supporting it, he had to review and approve to get the warrant to who? Bug Trump, as well as interview the general, Flynn, just like he had to approve interviewing Hillary Clinton. Either this gentleman was in on it, or he knows who was responsible for this. He might be talking to the inspector general. We don't know. But it's interesting that after the FBI director Sunday read that four-page memo, and probably some of the documents, who got more or less fired? Summarily dismissed. the number two person at the FBI, the deputy director, Andrew McCabe, that was the deputy director under Comey. And what's interesting, prior to that job, he headed the FBI field office in Washington, D.C., that provided the manpower to investigate, yes, Hillary Clinton. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just getting some of the early details. And the FBI, Rod Rosenstein, who's now the deputy attorney general, he didn't want any of this information out. It's a scandal. Because where it's taking them is not only Hillary Clinton's email problems, as well as the public corruption problem of the Clinton Foundation, but also former FBI Director Mueller, who's investigating the Russian collusion. I'm waiting for all that evidence, sirs. They haven't produced anything. What they have is, oh yeah, they charged Paul Manafort, who was briefly the campaign manager for Trump, but the activities were prior to Trump and nothing to do with Trump. The other two are process crimes, perjury, rather slim pickings in terms of scalps to put on your wall. That's one of the problems of special counsels. Because I have no horse in this race, if you can provide evidence that either Trump or anyone in his campaign was colluding or conspiring. There's no law against colluding, but it's conspiring with the Russians. Bring it on. Bring it on. What Trump says, I didn't do it. Bring it on. I think he's telling the truth. Time will tell. The Democrats and their big lie media, especially CNN, MSNBC, and the newspapers, they're going on and on about this. The Russian collusion. Collusion. People are laughing at him. Okay, if he was colluding, name the date, the place, the people there, what they were discussing, and how are they colluding? The American people don't believe this. I think the Democratic Party and its leadership are living in an alternative universe. They believe their own lies. They make up things and then believe it. So I just got the signal I got to wrap it up, which I will. I think the shot, if not heard around the world, will be heard in the United States is when I hope both the memo and a number of documents supporting the conclusions in those memos is released. And I think it will be released sometime in February, probably around St. Valentine's Day. The president has already indicated he wants it released. The only concern here, and it's a legitimate concern, you don't want to disclose sources and methods of gathering intelligence. I think that's a legitimate point, but the memo doesn't. Some of the documents are, by their very nature, highly classified, but they're supporting many of the points that I'm raising here. You see, they misuse the FISA court. And the Obama administration intentionally was spying on the Trump campaign. And they were unmasking who? The people that were in these reports that never should be unmasked. They were violating the law. This is a big conspiracy. It goes right into the White House and the Oval Office. Will the president, in terms of Obama, ever be brought to justice? I doubt it. But I think you have probably upwards of 24 people that should be prosecuted for their roles in this entire situation. They forgot that their loyalty was the Constitution, not to a political candidate. And when you misuse government property, in this case the Intelligence Committee, for political reasons, that is a crime. And that means the people involved in this, in the Obama administration, his national security advisor, the United Nations ambassador, the CIA director, the FBI director, and Loretta Lynch. They have, let's say, some exposure here, some explaining to do as to what they did. This was a plot to get Hillary Clinton elected and trying to undermine first the Trump campaign, and once he was elected, try to change the results of the election. This is subversion of a duly elected president of the United States. This will not stand, should not stand. And stay tuned, because sometime in February, a lot of Americans are going to wake up to the scandalous behavior of not only the Clintons, but the Obama administration, the FBI, and the Department of Justice. Thank you very much for listening. And I forgot to make the key point. The Intelligence Committee approved the release of this memo. Now it's up to the president to make his final decision. He's not going to make it this week for the simple reason we have the State of the Union address on Tuesday. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.